This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. My guest tonight is actor Jim Caviezel, who stars in the upcoming movie When the Game Stands Tall, a film about the legendary De La Salle High School football coach Bob Lattiser. Caviezel hurt his foot while playing college basketball and then turned to acting. He's best known for playing Jesus in the Mel Gibson 2004 movie The Passion of the Christ, and his current television role as John Reese, a former Green Beret and CIA operative who was presumed dead in the hit CBS crime drama Person of Interest.
That's for your wife.
Yes.
I thought your wife liked roses. Excuse me. Do I know you? No. But I know you, Bill. Little relationship advice. If you're going to step out on your wife, you need to think it through.
You don't want to mess with Jim Caviezel in that role, and you don't want to challenge him to a game of one-on-one on the basketball court. Let's head to Madison Avenue in New York City and meet actor Jim Caviezel. Thanks for joining us on Sports Jam.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here. Thank you.
When the game stands tall, you play a legendary high school coach, Bob Lattiser. What about this script? Because I know you really look at scripts before you make selections in movies. What about this that attracted you to this film?
Well, I'll take you back to when I was 18 years old. I was playing basketball in high school. First time we ever had qualified for the state tournament. And I remember we were out celebrating, and we were at a pizza place, and someone came in and said, "Yeah, we just drew the number one team in the state of Washington, and we play them tomorrow night." And so at that point, it was, I guess our season's over. Everybody went home. And I happened to open up the newspaper and found the movie Hoosiers and called my teammates. I said, "Let's go." Went and watched it. And it didn't take long to realize how powerful a movie could transform an entire team, completely change the attitude. When we got in the fourth quarter of that game, a game that we would win right at the buzzer, I could feel the fearlessness that I had in my body, and that I went from absolute fear to fearlessness. The place was sold out. You couldn't get a seat. And I just remember feeling that I wasn't going to let my teammates down. And I felt just the courage of that a moment to pull together, and how much I love my teammates. And I, as an actor, years later, I sit there and thought, gee, if I could ever find a movie like that, and this is that film.
Is it safe to say that if you didn't have a foot injury back in college in Bellevue, that you might not have been an actor?
There were aspects about my game that I was very good, and one of them was shooting and being able to clear myself for a shot. I only needed a foot. I always said I only needed a foot to get my shot off and to be accurate. That's all I did for 17 years. I would say that, to be honest, no, that I would not have been able to play in the NBA. I would have been one of those bubble players that was a very good player. I played against some great NBA players. But there was a guy in our area named John Stockton, and I got to go head-to-head with him a couple of times at Gonzaga when we were playing. And that guy depressed me. I realized that I probably have to find another career, and thank God it was acting.
And acting, all these roles that you've had, a couple of sports movies now, Bobby Jones, Stroke of Genius. You've loved sports, so it's a perfect fit for you, isn't it?
Mm. I always try to find whatever role that I play, whether it be a real character or a character that's something you have to build from the ground up. I'm always looking for something that, regardless of what it is, that it's authentic, that people, when they see the role, that they don't see an actor, that they see a person.
You like doing physical roles. In Person of Interest, you're very physical. You've done movies where you're very physical. Obviously, you keep yourself in great shape. With this movie here, is it something that when you look at you have to look like a football coach too when you know you're taking a legendary guy, it has to be believable.
Believability is everything. Like we mentioned, a movie I did, Bobby Jones. I remember watching some basketball film before I was playing Bobby Jones, and the golf instructor told me, look, if you are looking at your grip when you pick up that golf club, everybody's going to know you don't play that game. And it's very similar to the basketball. And when I walk up to the foul line and present myself to the foul line, I can tell you right away if the actor has not done his homework. And so I had to watch an extensive amount of film on when the game stands tall. Obviously, documentaries. I watched a lot of stuff on Lombardi, but I was fortunate enough that Bob Lattiser allowed me to see his last football game and to tape it, to film it. And I got to go into the locker room, literally tape the conversations. And what I was fascinated about him is he didn't say much. It was just presence that really was the big factor that I knew that probably if I could get that down, that we might have a chance.
Why did this guy have such a long winning streak from what you've been able to determine? What was it about him that made him this legendary coach?
Well, you know, I was just saying that I watched something on Vince Lombardi, and he was quoted as saying many times about winning. And Lattiser never emphasized winning at all. What he was about was creating getting young men to be men of virtue, courage, to be depended on. He would say, we're not asking you to play a perfect game. What we're asking of you, and what you should be asking of yourselves, is to give a perfect effort on every play from snap to whistle. And I would watch him but the very first thing I ever saw in the documentaries that were done on Bob Lattiser is how those boys looked at him. And how they looked at him was very much in the same way that I saw in how the players of Lombardi looked at him. They loved him. And he would say to them, you know, find that place in your heart, whatever it takes, whatever that thing is to get your heart burning. And you think about that. When you go out in a game and football, the adversity that you're going to go through, you're going to have ups and downs, especially downs in those games. But champions have a tendency that no matter how hard that adversity is, they can look at it in the face. It is not how hard you hit somebody with other teams, you know, focusing on hitting. It's how hard you're going to get hit, and if you have the guts to dare to stand back up. And none of these guys will let their teammates down. He gets them to depend on each other, and what eventually, because of how that love that he focuses on, those boys end up becoming great leaders in their communities, and they become great husbands great people. And that's what he's really focused on. So winning becomes a byproduct of great men of virtue.
12 years, 151 games in a row. But we were never just about winning. We were built on families.
Doing it, coach. Getting my baby out of Richmond.
And our town coming together.
The longest winning streak in sports history is now over.
But losing the streak tested us all.
Let some punk pull you down at the 2-yard line.
Dad, please.
Don't let a game define who you are. Let the way you live your lives do that.
It's just a high school football game.
Ever since day one, we've been doing what's best for us. You and me getting out of here together.
You heard from me?
People always ask me what it's like to never lose. Today I am lost.
All the things I've taught, I don't know if I'm still doing much good here.
I just want you happy and healthy.
Danny! Call 911!
I got caught up in everything and let it nearly kill me.
When the game stands tall.
You mentioned adversity for Bob Lattiser. There wasn't much adversity with this winning streak, but there was something that happened that's in this movie. One of his players was murdered, and now we're up on the 10th anniversary of that. How did that impact him? This is so much more than a sports movie. It's a movie about family. It's a movie about bringing people together and how he had the impact on the kids. From what you've been able to determine, how was that murder? How did it impact him?
Well, you can completely see it in the actual speech that I watched. I was so moved. but again, how they looked to him. And he basically looked during the funeral. He looked up to God and he says, "I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to handle this." And they know why. And I think that in all life, that adversity is going to hit every single one of us, and this is part of that. While we live, there's going to be death. But how he handled that, as far as getting these kids to depend on each other, I'm going to tell you something. Bob's a very, very private guy, and doesn't say too much. But what I was most impressed in watching that is just in the between moments of the calm and the peace that he had in him. And it just becomes something that you can really lay your hooks on. And they pulled together. They went through some big losses that season. That turned out to be one of the greatest seasons they ever had. They major adversity. And they turned around and won the state championship.
You're a family man, so you understand the personal relationships, and you bring this to the movie. But what changed you after this film? Did something change in Jim Caviezel after this film?
I think for me, being a father now and having kids and them, they're going to be coached by individuals. And most of the time, I had bad coaches. Most of the time, I didn't have that great teachers. But 1 in 10, that one person, if you can affect that individual, I guess it was a theme in me, was that I have to play this well and I have to do it well, because I felt that if I could affect by doing my job well and affect any other teacher out there and say, you know, that could be me, and then that could affect another kid. That's how a film like this changes you. It starts from the beginning of, wow, I have to die a little bit to myself here, because it's not going to be easy. This guy's still alive. People are going to be comparing me to him, say, you didn't do a good job or whatnot. But I felt if we could get the spirit of it. And every time I do a film like that, the spirit of a film that is good, that has a redeemable quality to it, always changes me for the better. Growing up is painful. It's not easy. But that's what our program's about. It ain't about the football. It ain't about scoring the touchdowns. It's about moving you in a direction that can help you and assist you to grow up, so that when you take your place out in the world, you can be dependent on. De La Salle had to play both ways. Their training program is ridiculous. And so with all of that, the how they handled it, I think, was De La Salle, you know, listening to what he had to say was, you know, as soon as they lost, he got them to unite and say, this is, you know, this had to happen. Every streak is going to end. But a lot of these family members, brothers, were like, you let this thing end?
You have no fear when it comes to playing roles. We know the roles that you've played in the past. When the game stands tall, what does it mean to have it to be a successful movie for you? That you have the personal impact on people, or does it have to be a box office smash?
Well, the box office smash would be helpful, but not always the box office smashes are the best films either. I can go back to the story that I'd met Jimmy Stewart several times, and what many people don't know is that Stewart, after he won an Academy Award, went into the military and flew close to 50 missions over Nazi Germany, and risked his life tremendously, came out of that, and went to work with Frank Capra on a movie called It's a Wonderful Life. People, oh, I love that movie. Well, it wasn't a big film when it first came out, and kind of got lost, but people have found it, and it has changed lives and for the better. I throw that on every Christmas. I have it hanging over my mantle at home, and that man had a great effect on my life. He told me, he says, well, whatever you do, Jim, you make good movies. And so this was part of that whole thing. And I believe that it will be successful, but regardless, it will be found.
Now, you mentioned you didn't have the greatest of coaches. Boy, your dad had a great coach at UCLA, John Wooden. Did he pass along any stories to you ever about his days at UCLA that maybe you take with you and when the game stands tall?
Well, I had some great coaches, 10% of them, I'd say, but those are the ones that made the biggest effect. My dad played for Coach Wooden at UCLA. First thing he taught me when I was a boy was how to put on my shoes and put on my socks. And that was the first thing that Wooden taught him and the whole team. And obviously, if you go out and play and you don't put on your socks right, you're going to have a huge blister and you won't be able to play. So he always did great things, but he did it in the simple. And so he had a great effect on me. And then, of course, I knew Coach Wooden. I worked at his basketball camp. I was a counselor, and I also was a young camper at his camp. And took to heart his pyramid of success. And in not just in my basketball, life of short 17 years since as a boy, but really that structure. Was the foundation of my acting career.
You're listening to Sports Jam on WBGO, The Jazz Source. I'm Doug Doyle. My guest tonight is actor Jim Caviezel, who stars in the new movie coming out, When the Game Stands Tall. He's also a Washington State native and a big sports fan.
Us losing the Sonics is a very, very personal note with me, and I'll tell you why. When my dad took me to my first NBA basketball game of my life, I was a huge Sonic fan, and we did, most of the games were never on TV. They were always on the radio, so I always listened on the radio. The Seattle Supersonics. In '78, Sonics were 77, Portland Trailblazers won the NBA championship. Seattle the following year was 2-19 and fired their head coach and brought in Lenny Wilkins. They turned it around, and Seattle went to the NBA World Championship, lost Game 7, okay, in Seattle, 99-105, we lost. We didn't have the NBA three-point shot back then. And Seattle made a huge trade got rid of Marvin Webster and brought in some guy from Illinois, Wesleyan, by the name of Jack Sikma. And people were like, what a stupid trade. And we go on that year, and we're now playing the Washington Bullets again for the NBA championship in 79. And we were up 2-1. I believe we lost the first game. We won the second one, and we got the split with them in Washington, and they came into Seattle. I remember this like it was yesterday. We went to the Seattle Center. I came out. My dad took me to the game, and I remember the first guy I ever saw was Dennis Johnson, number 24, and this is the first time I ever seen anybody famous ever. And I was just in love with this game. Came, sat in my seat, and Seattle would go on to win that game in double overtime and take a 3-1 lead, and we would eventually win. That was our only championship. And he let me go to the game, but he did not let me go to the parade, of which I wanted to do so badly. But we were in Melbourne, an hour away. When Seattle left, it was like a part of my heart just got ripped out. So I'm glad we still have the Sonics name. Hopefully we'll be able to get our franchise back, but just to see how well, some of the Oklahoma City Thunder were Seattle Supersonics, and just to see how well they're doing, it's heart-wrenching.
High school coaching is a lot different than college and professional. Do you have more appreciation now what it would be to be a high school coach, or now that you think about it, would you like to be a real high school coach?
You know, I did quite an extensive amount of coaching when I was working as a counselor at Washington State and the University of Washington basketball camps. I'm also in Southern California, at five-star basketball camp in Pennsylvania. I would say that the whether you're a high school football coach, college, or NFL coach, it really comes down to simplifying things. In other words, a great coach is a great teacher. Great teachers have like, for example, my brother-in-law, Scott Linehan, who's with the Dallas Cowboys. Scott is a man who has such a calmness to him and belief in he could find those things in an individual, psychologically being able to break a guy down and finding those hooks in him of his strengths and building on them. And so whether you're a high school football coach, a Coach Ladd could have coached anywhere, trust me, anywhere in the world. And he could, by the way, he's like one of those coaches like Lombardi. He could pick up a book, open it up, and read the never play basketball. And that's actually what happened with Lombardi. Is he could read just the basic idea of what this is and figure it out and make champions.
Your allegiances in sports. You grew up in Washington State. Are you a Seahawks fan?
Absolutely. But first, blood is thicker than water. Brother-in-law first.
I was going to say, so you're going to obviously be a part Cowboys fan. Can you do that?
Well, the day that they play the Hawks, the Cowboys will be the team.
And you're not going to get physical with me because I have a Steelers shirt on.
Steelers are a wonderful franchise.
As far as the cast, what a cast here for When the Game Stands Tall. I just saw Laura Dern in the top box office movie this past weekend. How has it been working with When the Game Stands Tall with her as your wife?
She's authentic, very real. She's one of those actresses where you sit down and she gets the gist of the scene, but they're seamless. You're sitting there, you kind of have an idea of the offense, but she runs it kind of like Rick Carlisle, I believe, from the Dallas Mavericks. This flow, it happens where you just find the open man. Very few actors can do that.
What is it about sports? We're talking with Jim Caviezel here on Sports Jim. What is it about sports that gets your juices flowing? Obviously, you still can play. Do you play a lot of hoops on the side now? You mentioned five-star camp. We're talking one of the top camps in the world there, and those in Pennsylvania certainly know about five-star camp. What is it about sports that inspires Jim Caviezel?
There's a score at the end, and there's a winner and a loser. And in my business, it's a little bit different. In track, let's say, for example, you have a guy that runs around like a chicken, but he's the fastest man in the world. In the sporting world, it's like, well, he runs like a chicken, but he's the fastest man in the world. Until you find another guy that can run faster, he is the number one guy in my business. They could say they don't like the way he runs. So they say, well, you know, number 13, that has a 1 in it. Let's go with 13 this year. 13 becomes the end number. So truly love about that the game is if there is no fairness to it, there will be the referee will be removed, the coach will be removed. If you're not doing your job and you're losing, they will replace you. That has a simple part to it, but the great coaches that I've done is they've always used metaphors of life to help motivate you, and the sport basketball meaning for me, my dad basically put it to me this: either you're going to work. I'm from an area where we have a lot of tulips. You're going to work in the bulbs, or you're going to work playing basketball. Well, basketball is the thing, but through that I got to be around great individuals that taught me a lot from different parts, different races around the world. Those teammates taught me and molded me. Like And I made a lot of corrections in my life, and I really owe it to my athletic background in basketball that has made me an actor. And the one thing being is never quit, get back up. And there were a lot more adversity and rejection as in acting than I ever faced in as an athlete, but it all started with being an athlete first.
You're listening to Sports Jam on WBGO, the Jazz Source. I'm Doug Doyle. My guest tonight is actor Jim Caviezel, who was a pretty good college basketball player in his day and is best known for his portrayal of Jesus in the 2004 Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ.
Abba, kulit kehu, henkehel, kasta yeide mini. A gain luck is far. Lay away the luck is far.
Jim Caviezel in The Passion of the Christ, a role that Mel Gibson at one point tried to talk him out of. Now let's head to New York City and find out more about the new movie starring Jim Caviezel, When the Game Stands Tall, right here on Sports Jam. Excuse the pun, but you can hear the passion in your voice. From the movie that you're most well-known from, Passion of the Christ, but you are passionate about what you do. When it comes to De La Salle High School, do you feel like you have an attachment to that school? Would you go and see their game? Obviously, you're going to be forever linked to that school, even though you play a role.
Well, you were mentioning the passion, and I walked in, and there was a mural painted of me from the Passion. And I was laughing, looking at it, and I said, "You know, that's my head. I picked that photo out that you painted from." And then here I am playing Coach Ladd. I've already go up there. I was up there this a couple months ago, and I drive my motorcycle up there and visit Coach Edson and Coach Lattiser. Whether it be them or when Coach Wooden was alive, I would have him, you know, over at the house, and I'd always visit him at his apartment. He remembered me since I was a little boy, and that's really where my acting comes from. And I went to John F. Kennedy Memorial High School. We were the first John F. Kennedy High School in the nation. When he was assassinated, the school started in 1963. And so I went to a Catholic Memorial High School, and De La Salle reminds me of that. Reminds me of you know where I came from, and that's really the when we come back to the start of this whole conversation is authentic. Never forget where you come from.
So there's a little bit of a break here before you actually get the reaction from the public. What is your reaction of When the Game Stands Tall? When you saw it, what did you say to yourself? Maybe not just your performance, but the movie itself.
Always the first time I see it, any film I do, I always go, "Oh, what happened to that scene, this scene, that?" Because you have an idea in your head how this movie's going to be made. Every time I do a scene, I'd say, "Well, if we move the camera here and there," and then I would see how they edit it down. And sometimes you're a little disappointed because you missed that and that. And then the other shot, you might go, "Wow, I didn't see that." So it's really, really complicated the first time I see it. Second time, I just become a regular viewer. And with this movie, if I'm moved and I'm that close to it, then I'm very happy. And I was very moved when I watched it.
Jim Caviezel, the star of When the Game Stands Tall, thanks so much for joining us on Sports Jam.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
When the Game Stands Tall comes to theaters in August. Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can check out the extended podcast versions of the show by going to WBGO.org/Sports Jam or find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on iTunes. A special shout out again this week to Joe Favorito for hooking us up with actor Jim Caviezel. Join me next Wednesday night at 7:30 for another edition of the nationally recognized Sports Jam. Until then, I'll see you at the game.